You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and Jamie Spence.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Danny Willett claims victory at the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth.
To win any tournament on tour is pretty special, and to be able to win the tournaments that I've won over the last few years, you know, they're really the iconic events, the creme de la creme against some great fields, and it's really nice to be able to polish one off on home soil in front of the crowds this week. That would be amazing.
The Englishman will join us later in the show. The 2016 Masters champion overcoming Spaniard Jon Rahm in a dramatic final round.
You know, I just couldn't do it today. I had a lot of chances to put him, you know, a little bit against the ropes. I never did. You know, it hurts a little bit to finish this way, but still, you know, hopefully it's the beginning of a good stretch here in Europe.
We'll also look ahead to another huge event on the European Tour, the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Hello, I'm Robert Lee. In the studio with me, I have double European Tour champion, Jamie Spence.
Good morning.
That's it? Good morning?
Yeah, just good morning.
Are you
good morning, everybody.
Parsimonious with your words today or what?
No, you're going to get more out of me.
A lot more.
Yes, just.
Excellent. And golf coach and YouTuber, Chris Ryan. Chris, how are you?
I'm great. That's between me and Jamie. We've got two European
you're
tour wins
one up,
between
though,
us.
But you're already one up.
Why is that?
Because it was just so much warmer. Your willingness to join the show and chip in and be a contributor. Jamie, I'm looking for big things from you.
Yes, I am.
Don't
be too confident.
BMW Championship, it's always a massive event on the European Tour schedule.
Huge. It's just getting bigger and bigger, Robert. I was there early in the week. I think they've just done a great job with the actual event. Put the golf to one side, I think, as a spectator now going to watch it. There's so much to do there in the Tented Village. Jamie Burtmeyer and his team from the European Tour done a brilliant job. And the music as well. They've got bands playing. I think Rudimental, wasn't it, the weekend? So that's a real big addition. So people are not just going there for the golf. It's a day out as well. And you've got probably the best feel they've had for a number of years, I'd say, turning up, especially some of the Americans coming over with Reed and Horshaw, etc. So just a great event. And the course, always this time of year, is immaculate.
And how was the weather, Chris, particularly the first 3 days?
Yeah, I mean, they got a little bit of rain on Sunday, didn't they? But the first part of the week was fantastic. And I was down there early part of the week. And I just echo what Jamie said. The whole feel of the event is different to a normal event. And the bigger they can make it, like Jamie says, the things off the course as well, you know, the music in the evening, and you're just making it more appealing for more people to go and people to take their partners and their children. I think they can just build it and build it and build it, and the stronger field really helps.
And BMW, they have the international event and they have the BMW PGA Championship. You've got to say, as a sponsor, they are top-notch.
They certainly are. Been great supporters of the tour. It's a two-way street, as you know, Robert, but they've collected a fantastic field here this week. On a great course with a great sponsor, it's all good.
Yeah, Danny Willett won his second Rolex Series title as he held his nerve down the stretch to overcome Jon Rahm. They played in the final two ball. It was a dramatic final round. 67 in the end for Danny, 20 under par and the three-shot win. But it wasn't, Chris, as comfortable as that would suggest.
It wasn't. I think Danny will be a little bit relieved that Jon Rahm didn't push him as much as he could. He kind of hit a few loose shots on 14 and, you know, didn't possibly put the pressure on that he would have liked. But even, you know, on that course with those two par fives to finish, it's never comfortable being two shots ahead because anything can happen. As we saw with Ross Fisher, you know, you can pick up some shots on those last couple of holes. So, yeah, I think probably until he hit that second shot into the last, it was probably still touch and go.
For Jon Rahm, who was chasing, Danny Willett made an unbelievable, we'll talk to him about it, but putt for a bogey at the 11th. And then Rahm, on the back of the mistake that Willett made six at the 12th, the par five.
Yeah, poor chip there from John. You'd expect him to be having a putt for eagle there on that 12th hole. Wasn't to be, and then Willett hit a fantastic bunker shot out the fairway bunker on 14. Had to draw it around the corner. Some shot, got it to about 10
on
feet.
On 13.
Sorry, 13. Sorry, Robert. Yeah, the par four.
That's right.
You knew the hole I was on. Just got the wrong number.
But Rahm birdied it, by the way.
Yeah, it was a great shot. So, yeah, it was nip and tuck at that point. Willett got off to the better start than Rahm. I'm amazed at the scoring. I don't see 20 under winning that. Well, it would win around that, but I didn't think
you would get to 20.
Yeah, I didn't think you need to get to that sort of score. I think it's still very difficult. It's just
they have softened the golf course a little
bit.
They have. And the conditioning of the golf course with very little breeze, particularly the first 3 days, was fantastic.
Probably the weather helped. Best weather first 3 days.
Yeah, it was perfect. Sure. Perfect scoring, wasn't it? Course was immaculate. Weather was great. Not a lot of wind. Temperatures high. But I'm surprised as well that 20 under wins it.
When you cast your mind back to Jamie, you playing in old money, the closing stretch at Wentworth, there was always risk and reward in it, wasn't there? The last two par fives weren't as difficult as they are now.
No, neither was 16. 16 was a much flatter green. Now it's raised and it falls off. 17 tee shot They pushed that back about 50 yards. Watching that early in the week, they were having trouble there. A lot of players going into trees left and trees right.
Which is encouraging, because that's how it used to be.
Because that's where we used to play from.
That's right.
And 18's gone back a bit as well, bunkers down. So they have made it more difficult, yeah. Although you wouldn't believe it, the way these guys hit the ball and play. I mean, what will it hit? Three wood, five iron into the last?
It was a long 3 wood. It was 285, 3 wood.
Three wood, five iron.
A bit pumped
it was
up,
no,
maybe.
It was no more than a 5 iron. Absolutely no more than a 5 iron.
Fantastic.
And is right in the middle of the green as well.
Can't explain that second shot. Go and put a ball in the middle of that fairway from 220 or whatever it is, 210. Wait, it's a pretty intimidating shot.
He's done down the tight line. He's not too far from the ditch. Mm. And Wayne Riley made a very good observation. He said it's actually, you'd better off go for the green. It's actually harder to lay up here.
Well, yes. Yeah.
It would have been a very strange layout sandwich.
They have softened the bunkers to the right-hand side of that green now. They were brutal.
They were very severe, weren't they?
They were, but now they've softened them, so they're not such a bad miss now.
Do you think that they've got that 18th just about right? Because when they first did the redesign, no one was going for the green. It was too severe. The green was a lot higher up. They lowered it. They made it so people would go for it. You get that risk and reward feel.
Yeah, I think when you have a course that's got two par fives to finish, if they're just guarantee birdie holes, you don't get the excitement. They've got to be holes where you can make a birdie and eagle, but you can drop shots. And we saw Rory drop shots on day one on 17, and we saw Rahm drop shots on Saturday on 17. So I think you've got to have two holes which are, you know, you can have a 7, you can have a 3, because that's what brings the excitement. If they're two par fives, which are really easy, it's guaranteed birdie, it doesn't really bring that excitement. So I think they've got it just right.
What about Danny's ability to close out tournaments?
It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Very impressive.
I was on course with him when he won his first event back in the day at BMW International in Cologne. I think it was 2012. And just when he gets up there, he's got that calmness and assuredness about his game. He's got a wonderful short game. I mean, he led the field here in putting strokes gained, which I never get my head around, but he was 10.9 ahead of the field. Can you explain that to me, Robert?
He's 10 shots better than the field average.
I do understand.
Well, I'm explaining to our listeners.
All I'm saying is he putted fantastic.
Because they think, by your own words, that you don't understand.
Well, I'm not really. I just know that he didn't have a lot of 10
shots better than the average in the field.
He's always been a good putter. And I think when he gets his game going on the right course, when it's tight, and you've really got to... There's some demanding tee shots at Wentworth, and I think they're the sort of courses that he excels at, especially with the way he chips and putts.
So, sky's the limit for Danny. I mean, he's done very well to get his career back on track, because after the Masters and the huge dip he had, he really was lost.
Yeah, and I think, you know, you mentioned about him closing out tournaments. I think he's got to kind of battle almost two things. One, he's been down as high as 300 and something in the world, so he's kind of put himself back in contention. But he's also back in contention with the new golf swing. So he's, you know, hitting the ball on a different shape. He's moving it right to left now. So he's got that kind of two things he's trying to battle. He's one, will my new swing hold up to this? And two, kind of mentally, you know, get it over the line. So really impressed that he could do that.
It's unusual that a player can turn his shape around. Because as I say, back in the day, he was a left to right player. To turn it into a right to left and have that control and confidence under that extreme pressure is very impressive. There's not many people who've done that.
Yeah, I know he was a fader, but I always saw Danny the way he swings it as a drawer. He looks natural to me the way he plays now.
Well, because he goes a little bit underneath it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I always saw him as a drawer.
So he won the Masters moving it left right, didn't he, predominantly?
But how well did he close that out, by the way?
Phenomenal.
See, once he stood in that 16th tee, he was just trying to have a good finish at one point. Then he saw the board. He knew he was leading, and he was brilliant.
Yeah. What did he say? 5 good swings. That's what he said to himself. Five good swings. That's a really good way of thinking, isn't it?
And a brilliant chip at 17.
Well,
by
yeah,
the
that
way.
Helps. Yeah.
A brilliant chip at 17. He could have had 100 goes at that.
Yeah,
not
he could have done,
it.
Yeah.
But superb win for Danny Willett. And John Rahm just continues to look like the superstar we think he is.
Well, he is. He's just got so much power. I mean, he plays with a cut.
But how repetitive.
Not a cut, but.
Yeah, it's a power slide. Oh. It's a power slide, but how repetitive.
Did you
is
see
the action?
Tee shot hit down the first on Sunday?
384.
I mean, that was on the upslope, wasn't it? I mean, I've never seen a golf ball down
there. About a 75-yard lob wedge up the hill, which, by the way, downwind to the green that's raised up, and you had to carry the bunker.
You probably only see the top of the flag if
he sucked
lucky.
It back.
Did he?
He sucked it back 3 foot short of the hole.
I didn't see that. 384 down the first.
384 in the middle of the fairway.
That's quite good, isn't it?
That's just.
If we hit a good one back, in the day, you were just about on that downslope when you're struggling to get it out of the rough. So the game's changed. These players changed the game.
But I can remember playing in the May date, into the wind, raining.
Yeah,
cold,
horrible, yeah. Can't reach.
That first hole was a par 5.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the game has changed. But John Rahm, absolutely sensational. And he will be playing, and so will Danny, in the next event on the European Tour up in St Andrews.
Dunhill Links, yeah.
Couldn't be better. What about Rory McIlroy? Horrendous start, and then Rory does what he always does. He comes roaring back.
If there's one player you'd back to be top 10 after just making the cut, it'd be Rory. I mean, take that one round out, which I know you can't, but he was great, wasn't he? Just very uncharacteristic for him to fall away like he did on that Thursday. I mean, he was, what, 4 under through, you know, early on, and then just seemed to kind of lose it.
He had a putt on the par 5 12th. He hit it through the green. He had a birdie putt, which he knocked about 4 feet by, and he was going to walk up and knock and just hit it straight away. And he just took a breath, came back and knocked it in. And I thought, whoa, steady, because you could still... We know what Rory's like.
Yeah.
And then he makes the cut, and he did the interview with Tim Barton. Tim said, what do you need to get back in the tournament? He said, well, about 65, 64. When he goes and shoots 65, he just does it, doesn't he?
He planted the seed, didn't he?
I think he did.
He planted the seed. But he's done that. He does that an awful lot.
He's incredible. Incredible.
Shocking start, and he's still finishing the top 10.
Yep.
Yeah, he's an amazing player. It really is. And it was good to see him there. Good to see a really good field there. Billy Horschel, Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, the Americans that took part as well.
Yeah, I mean, we were talking earlier about the whole event being bigger and better and having a great field, but it's got to be backed up by a great field, and that was a phenomenal field, you know, to see the Americans come over, and hopefully that will happen, you know, as years go on, you know, if it kind of finds its little place at the end of the year in September. I think it's a great time of the year. FedEx has done, Majors has done. I think it's got a bit more focus on it, and I think we're going to see more Americans coming over and playing.
A little bit of social media reaction. Danny Willett said, wow, what a feeling. Chuffed to have won the iconic BMW PGA on home soil. That's his first win on home soil, by the way. He's been an international man with his victories. Great to have my family there to celebrate as well. Very special times for the Willetts. Matt Wallace said, Danny Willett swinging the club so well, and to see him up close roll the ball on the putting green, the best I've seen anyone. Now, that's saying something. We know how good his short game is, and he's a winner. What a player. Lucky to call him my mate. Congrats, pal. Justin Rose, love being back in England playing the BMW PGA Championship. The course, weather, and the fans made it a fantastic tournament. Congratulations, Danny Willett, on the trophy. And thanks also to Team Rose for the support.
It's all team, Rob, these days. You need people behind you. You need a good caddy, coach, physio, all that sort of stuff. There's quite a number on the team.
So you are now a modern, sophisticated, young, urban male.
Well, I'm not.
No.
If I was.
Stay with it.
I think Chris is more on that
ride
than we are.
This is for you. You are a young, successful... travel the world, urban male, successful golfer. How big would your team be?
Oh, I don't know. I think the physical side has grown massively in the world of golf. To be able to...
With your own physio and stuff?
Yeah, to put your game onto the course, especially all the travelling you do. So I think that's for me, that would be vital.
Masseuse would be the job number one.
Physio, masseuse, yeah. Oh,
both roles?
Well yeah, you're not going to bring two or three away, are you? Your coach, I don't know, I'm...
You wouldn't want your coach
no,
every week.
No, I would not. I would want to do that away from it. But these guys have them there. They have their routines. But they'll have a short game coach. They might have a putting coach. They'll have a, you know, it's different people you need at different times of the year and in your career. So they're not taking everybody away with them every week, but they have access to them. Especially with this, with modern technology now, you can have lessons online.
How many people, Chris, would be on your payroll?
To try and get me to keep my card. I don't think I could have a team big enough.
What would you find most useful? Because Jamie's just said there, body conditioning and keeping himself feeling good physically would be important to him.
I think when you look at these players who play the world golf tournaments, a lot of it is just injury prevention, isn't it? It's trying to keep their bodies, you know, so they don't pick up injuries. Because if you get injured, that's real.
I was at the Olympics with Danny, right, back in 2016. He was teeing off. I think he was one of the first ones to about 7:40 somewhere. He was in the gym at 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
5 o'clock. He was in there doing some stretching, a bit of bike work, little lightweight,
just
but mainly stretching.
Himself up,
for about 35, 40 minutes.
But he's also a man that's had injury problems, hasn't he?
They've all been through that. They've all had wrists, backs, whatever. And as you say, it's preventative. But it takes a lot of dedication to do that every week. To be able to, you know, to get up that early, to do all that work. And they do some work afterwards as well. They're athletes, these guys now.
Brooks Koepka, the world number one, never misses a day in the gym.
There you go.
I spoke to Claude, his coach. Claude says that Brooks never misses a day. If he's playing early, he's in there like 5, 4 o'clock in the morning. But he enjoys it. You know, some people do actually enjoy
training. You've got to enjoy that. If you don't enjoy that, you're going to drive yourself into the ground.
I think if you're doing it because it's a means to an end, it's like a necessary thing you do. I think you can do that without enjoying it because you need to do it because you need to be loose and you need to prevent a back injury. That's different to actually going in there and enjoying it. Yeah. Some people do enjoy the gym.
I think if Brooks wasn't a golfer, if he was doing something with health, he'd still be in the gym every day. It's something that he enjoys, and it just so happens that he can use it to benefit his golf.
Well, we should probably bear all our thoughts in mind, but it's now time to talk to Danny Willett. He's on the phone. Danny, very pleased to have you here on the Race to Dubai show. A fantastic win. You must be feeling on top of the world.
Yeah, I'm not too bad. I'm actually on my way back from Manchester. I've just had to go and do my Chinese visa application.
The things you have to...
It's not all glitz and glam.
The things you have to do when you've just won $1 million, eh?
The pain of having to go to the embassy because I can now play in the HSBC. What a shame, eh?
Yeah, but listen, let's talk about the final round. You in the final two ball with John Rahm. How were you feeling going into it?
I was pretty nervous, but, you know, I get nervous all the time. You know, on a Thursday, whenever I get nervous, so... No, it was just good fun. I was playing good golf, and me and John had a good tussle on the Saturday as well. And we were both in prime position, obviously, for one of us to take the trophy home yesterday.
Four great scores, Danny, all in the 60s, 65 in round two. Start of the week, did you think you had a chance? Did you feel good about your game pre the tournament?
Yeah, the stuff I'd been doing had been bedding in really nicely. But yeah, the game was definitely in a place where I definitely felt like I was in a nice place if things, you know, things kind of happened and you could hold a few putts.
Danny, Chris Ryan here. Just wondering what your thoughts were on the event being a little bit different in the year. Did you feel the course played any different? Do you prefer it at this kind of time in the year?
I just think it gives the ground staff time to get the course ready, really. In May, if we have a bad winter, it's always tricky. They're always battling against the elements to try and get it ready. They always come up and do a great job. But this year, I think, if you ask all the guys, it was particularly pristine. They've had plenty of growth with the summer and stuff. And, you know, we had a great week of weather for the tournament. So... Yeah, I think it made a biggest difference on the field because obviously the FedEx had finished. Patrick Reed and Billy Orshaw, Andrew Putnam, the Americans came over. Tony Finau did as well. Obviously Rory and Rosie and the guys were playing. So the field, I think, was much stronger this time of year as well. So I think it all shaped up to be one of the best that they've had.
Talk me through that 11th hole because that seemed pretty crucial. I mean, the bunker shot on 13, by the way, was brilliant. But that just holding that putt must have given you such a huge boost.
Yeah, it was one of them. I mean, you know, I've watched countless tournaments on TV and stuff when I've been sat home on your weeks off, and you know, you see things whilst watching it that you don't realise happen. You look at a scorecard and you don't see how it happened, and, you know, someone just said, oh, he made a bogey there, it's a bit silly, it's a pretty easy hole, but actually, you know, how he did it was pretty ridiculous.
Your climb, Danny, in the last, well, year and a bit, from the PGA in 2018 up the world rankings has been on a very steep trajectory. If I'd have taken you back to last time you played the PGA Championship, would you have believed you'd be where you are now?
No, probably not quite. I knew that I was on the correct path. You know, this time in, I think, May 2018, I was well and truly down the path of balls, and the body was feeling good. And I knew that there were some good things to come, but I didn't know what. So, no, I probably wouldn't have thought I'd be back here, but it, you know, but that's why it's such a crazy game.
That's tremendous, isn't it? I mean, you've done a wonderful job with the swing, the action, the game, the way you're playing. Things that you want to aim for, and right now, what would they be from this point that you're standing here, just outside the top 30, we believe, in the world rankings?
Yeah, just keep doing the same thing. That's kind of, I've always kind of been on that way of things, where you pick off your boxes day by day and kind of see what cards you get dealt and kind of go with it. And that's kind of what we're going to do. I don't really do long-term goals or anything like that. For me, it's just doing the same things and keep playing golf, keep enjoying it and doing it for the right reasons and see where we can get to.
You only seem to win big events, Danny. Which is the next one? Can you let us know, please?
Well, there's a little thing about the majors next year, and of course the Olympics, Danny. Does the Olympics get your juices going?
Yeah, I was there. Obviously, we spent it back in 2016, and obviously Rosie won, and it was a fantastic experience. I think it's something that is completely different to anything we're used to. We stayed in the Olympic Village in the British housing. And it's just a phenomenal setup and what they are able to do.
I kept you entertained, Danny, through that week. I did my best.
You did. You were amazing, Captain.
And Danny, what's your schedule looking like towards the end of the year now? Have you changed anything based on the recent win?
No, I'm playing Dunhill this next week. And then I'm going to have a week off. And then I'm due to play probably seven in a row at the end of the year for both tours. Obviously, we've got another Rolex Series event in the Italian Open, and then I go to Asia to play the CJ Cup and the Dodo Championship and HSBC, and then come back for the final three on the European Tour. So, and then the clubs will go down for 6 weeks and I'll put my feet up.
Congratulations, Danny, on winning the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. Fantastic playing, and yeah, all the very best to the end of the season.
Thank you very much, fellas.
Yeah, always good to hear from Danny, and he's in such a good place now, Jamie.
Yeah, he is, yeah. Interesting that his day off, if you like, Monday, there he is getting his Chinese visa because he's thinking about the HSBC. It never stops, does it?
I'm surprised, yeah. I guess there's only one way he can do it. He's got to turn up in person to get it done.
Well, you have, yeah. We've all got to do that. So you can have people to do things for you, but you've actually got to turn up and do those things. But listen, that's the sort of, and he's playing, what did he say, seven in a row?
Seven in a row.
Seven in a row at the end of the year as well. So, yeah, listen. Anyway, he's up at the moment.
That wheelbarrow is going to be very heavy.
It's a truck.
It's a truck, is it?
It's a truck.
Has it got, you haven't got to push it yourself. It can get from A to B on its own.
I think he's just swapped the wheelbarrow in for a little truck.
Yeah, good for him. Okay, rest of the leaderboard. Let's hear from the man who pushed Danny Willett all the way, John Rahm. He was the runner-up at Wentworth, and afterwards we caught up with the Spaniard.
12, 13, 14 was key. Even though I made a good birdie on 13, I made two bad mistakes on 12 and 14. Short-sighted myself. I mean, once I'm short of the green, I'll need to just put it on the green, give myself a birdie chance and hope Danny misses. And then on 14, going up first, I need to put it on the green. You know, I felt great on the greens, and all I had to do was put it on the green. And that's where with the day the game was at, right? I mean, those two shots gave Danny a two-shot lead coming down the stretch. A very, very painful lip out on 16. And then 17 and 18, he did what he had to do. I was kind of hoping on 17 that my ball was the one farther from the hole so I could chip it close and give him a little bit of pressure, but, you know, I just couldn't do it today. I had a lot of chances to put him, you know, a little bit against the ropes, and I never did. A lot of iron shots that I could have hit, you know, a little bit closer to give myself a chance, but still, good tournament. You know, it hurts a little bit to finish this way, but still, you know, went down fighting, a couple mistakes, and hopefully is the beginning of a good stretch here in Europe.
Good attitude.
Yeah, I mean, you hear him say that it hurts a little bit to finish like this, and like, I get that because I think he'll look at that and reflect and think he could have done more. You know, I'm just thinking of the shot he hit into 14, into the front bunker, didn't get up and down, then he hit it over the back of 15. I just feel he'll look back and think, I could have put a bit more pressure on, I could have pushed a bit more.
You made a very good point earlier on, Jamie, saying, you know, when John Rahm can look back at where he made slight mistakes coming in, but, you know, if you wanted to win cleanly, you'd have to get beyond 20 under par.
Yeah, so it's quite a target,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean, he would have had to shoot 66 to win.
Playing in the final two ball.
Which is on that course, you know, listen, it's
unbelievably
not, it's
difficult.
Tough.
Yeah.
It's tough, yeah.
Unbelievably difficult.
That would have been, I mean, Billy Horschel shot 65 in the last round, but that was the best score of the day.
Justin Rose finished top 10.
Good week.
He had a couple of doubles chucked in there on the back nine.
Yeah, he did. Good week for him. Good week for Christian Bezuidenhout, who he won earlier this year, very understated. South African, good player, really pleased with him. Good 68 yesterday, under pressure. And Andrew Beef Johnson, another good week, really good week for him, finishing the top 10 for Beef, so really pleased with him.
When Bezuidenhout was on the 18th tee, if he makes eagle up the last, he might have got into a shake-up, because we don't know how Danny Willett and John Rahm are going to finish. So if he makes eagle at the last hole, he's definitely in the conversation. And he laid up, he at three would lay up, pitch, didn't give himself the chance with the tee shot.
You hate that, don't you?
I do. Well, you know what
you
I mean?
You hate that. I know you do.
I do hate that. Yeah. All right. If he makes a six, so what? He's sorted. He's got his card. He's no problems playing on tour. He's going to make a big check. But you know what? How many chances do you get to win a BMW PGA Championship?
You've got to make that decision on the tee, though, not on the second shot.
I'm on about the tee shot. Yeah. He made the decision to take out going for the green in two. And if he hits driver, he can have a pop at the green.
He's not been in these situations that in this sort of field before.
I understand.
I
know, but it is.
But your mindset is have a go at it. Always has been. Always will be.
But yeah, here's my thing, right? You can compete all the way. You don't know when you're going to get your chance to win. You don't know how often they're going to come along. You don't know. There's a lot of good players around. You're just not going to have a crack.
But you learn. But
at
I think
that title.
You learn that, don't you? Do learn that. Yeah. Some people don't learn it. Some people carry on playing in that mode.
Sure. I mean, he played so beautifully and then just employed the handbrake on the last tee.
Chris, what would you have done?
I'd like to think that I'd be the same as Rob. You know, he's won on tour. He's got his card. Everything's secure. You know, like you say, those two holes, Danny could easily go bogey double in the water. So he's got to think, he's got to hit driver, get into the middle of the green, give himself an eagle chance and put some pressure on.
I think the thing is, when you play with the top players through the years, they don't really lay it. They go for it. They back themselves. I think that's the one thing I learned. It surprised me. They had 240 over the water, whatever it was, whatever the edge was.
Sure.
And they had only a couple of yards in their bag. They'd still be taking it on.
Yeah.
That's what I learned pretty early. So maybe you'll learn from that. But listen, you can only play the game he's got.
I'm sure, and he's got a great game.
Yes,
he played beautifully coming down the stretch. He really did. And then I thought, go on, get the driver out, give yourself a chance. And he kind of played for a five, and that's what he made. He's playing for a four-stroke five. The other way, it's probably you're playing for three-stroke six.
Yeah, if he posts 18, you give him something to think about, don't you, behind?
Yes,
that's
right.
A bit of pressure on him, yeah.
Absolutely. You then set a target, and you're done, you're finished.
Mm.
And it would have been different looking at that board for those players, for John Rahm and for Danny Willett.
Harsh, isn't he?
Wow, yeah. First year on tour, is it? And he's already won,
He's done very well. That's what I take from that. I was just disappointed he didn't have a go with the driver up the last and give himself the opportunity. He could have hit a driver and a four iron in the middle of that green. So you got 35 footer, you might knock it in.
I think if your mindset is taking it off the tee, if you do knock it in the water for two, you can still chip and putt for five.
That's right.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
That's right. Yeah. John Rahm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's two ways of thinking about it.
Yeah. Okay. But well played. Christian Bezuidenhout, a really good, fine young player. So, can we have the top 10, please, young Jamie?
Can I give you the top 11? Would that be a help?
Yes,
because there's three stellar names: Shane Lowry, Victor Hovland. We haven't talked about him. What a player he looks!
Yeah,
and Paul Casey, recent winner in the Porsche. They're all tied 11th. In 9th, Rory McIlroy. After that, 76. He's tied 9th with Beef Johnson. 8th, Justin Rose. 6th, Richie Ramsey, who we haven't mentioned. Great week for Richie. And Rafa Cabrera-Bayo, we haven't mentioned him as well. He always plays well this time of the year. Patrick Reed and Billy Horschel were tied 4th. Bezuidenhout was 3rd. John Rahm was number 2, but our number 1 and BMW PGA champ, Danny Willett.
Yeah, well played, Danny Willett. And all those that played well in the tournament as well. And well played to everything that went on at Wentworth. It was absolutely top class. Now, last week's predictions... A reminder of the format. You get two picks, one from outside last year's top 50 in the race to Dubai, and anyone you think might win. 20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 for a missed cut. So Johnny Morgan went for Bernd Wiesberger, 5 points inside the top 20, 17th. And Rory, who finished 9th, 5 points. So he got 10 points. In your seat, Michael McEwen, who's on the line, a golf journalist, Bob McIntyre, 0 points. Matt Wallace, 0 points. Even though Matt Wallace started with a 65, he must have thought, here we go, woohoo! And I went for Casey and Hovland, who finished tied 11th, the pair of them. So that was 10 points. So overall, I'm restoring the lead that the presenters had after every time.
No, I think you tied with the Johnny Morgan there. He had 10 points as well, so you didn't gain any points on him.
No, I've restored my score back up to 185 Roebuck. I build up a nice little lead and he comes in and decimates it.
Okay.
Now I'm building it up back to 185.
We need to keep tabs on this.
Co-presenters, which you will represent this week, Jamie, up to 125. And guests stay on 105. So, Chris, you've got everything to play for this week.
Yeah, a lot of pressure.
In the fancy race to Dubai game, Lee Finlay is still the leader on 29,730 points. The weekly title went to Robert Tindall, whose team contained Danny Willett and John Rahm. No surprise he won that one. And if you want to get involved, you can by heading to europeantour.com and registering your team. Top 10, please, Chris, in the race to Dubai.
So the top 10, and this is after the BMW PGA Championship. In 10th place is Louis Oosthuizen. And then Danny Willett, with his recent win, moves up to 9th. And then we have two South Africans in 8th and 7th, Christian Bezuidenhout and Eric Van Rooyen. Matthew Fitzpatrick is in 6th. Tommy Fleetwood is in 5th. Matt Wallace is in 4th. We have Bernd Wiesberger in 3rd, and then John Rahm is in 2nd, and he's chasing Shane Lowry, who's top of the pile at the moment.
Now, in other news, David Shacklady's secured back-to-back Stacia titles at the Drew Belts Presents Paris Legends Championship by Renault ZE. Shacklady beat Jean-Francois Remusy in a playoff, with Remusy finding difficulty off the tee at the first extra hole. Two putts were enough for the 52-year-old to seal his second consecutive win following a triumph at the Sinclair Invitational 3 weeks ago. Next up on the Stacia Tour, it's the Moorhof Legends. A lot of legends going on here. Austrian Senior Open this coming weekend. There was no event on the Challenge Tour, and it heads to France next week for the Hops Open de Provence. On the PGA Tour, Sebastian Munoz held his nerve to edge a tense playoff against Sungjae Im at the Sanderson Farms Championship in Mississippi. The 26-year-old Colombian, who began the day with a one-shot lead over Mexico's Carlos Ortiz and registered a 2-under-par 70 in the final round, made the most of the extra opportunity by winning the replayed 18th hole against the South Korean. Big move, two first-time winners. Joaquin Niemann won the first week at White Sulphur Springs in West Virginia, and now Sebastian Munoz has won. There's 11 tournaments in the wraparound season before we get to Christmas. Jamie, give us the top 10 in the world.
Xander Schauffele is number 10. Molinari, Francesco, number 9. Tiger Woods is still in the top 10 at the world rankings. He's number 8, the Masters champ.
Will he pick himself at the President's Cup?
Oh, I hope so. Bit of controversy.
Well, see, won't we?
Probably not. Patrick Cantlay had a great season. He's number 7. Justin Thomas, 6. Jon Rahm, number 5. Justin Rose, number 4. Dustin Johnson, he's gone a bit quiet, hasn't he?
Very quiet, yeah.
Number 3. Rory's at 2. And Koepka is the number 1.
Now, the next big event on the European Tour is this coming week. It's the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. It's a tournament that everybody loves, Jamie, particularly the celebrities and actors and business people that are lucky enough to get a berth in that. Once they play once, they want to come back every year.
Yeah, everyone wants to play in this one, don't they? Normally get good weather as well on these three fantastic courses, Kings Barnes, Carnoustie and Sinet. Which one would you like to play? Which one do you like best?
I have played Kings Barnes.
It's great, isn't it?
And I'm not a fantastic. Unbelievable. We had a day where it was blue sky. It was just phenomenal. But I've not played Carnoustie or St Andrews, so either of those two.
Kings Barnes in a 25-mile-an-hour window would be unplayable.
That's right. That's the thing with Kings Barnes. You feel like you can shoot 64 one day and 84 the next.
Because the greens are too severe for links-type courses, really. You could still play St Andrews in a 25-mile-an-hour wind.
You can. And Carnoustie's just tough. If you enjoy tough golf...
If you like tough golf...
I follow Tommy Fleetwood there.
Have a warm up at Muirfield and then go across to Carnoustie.
I followed Tommy there 2 years ago when he shot 63.
Yeah,
around Carnoustie.
I know.
I'm sorry, but you don't do that. 63.
No, you should apologise when you come in.
He
shouldn't
should.
You?
Yeah, well, it was a beautiful day to be fair, but I don't care. 63.
It's a hard golf course. Yeah, it is, and with a really really difficult finish. Lukas Biergaard is the defending champion. But it is amazing. Even the pros enjoy the format where they play with an amateur partner for 3 days, and the big kicker for the amateurs is if they play well enough, they get to compete with the pros on Sunday, on Money Day.
I mean, there's no other event like it. You know, you play three courses, it's the amateurs, it's a great event. And like you say, it's great for the amateurs, gives them a bit of an inspiration to play well and get into the weekend. And what an experience for anyone playing in that event.
So Steve Redgrave, Kevin Peterson, Shane Warne, Luis Figo, Ruud Gullit, Jamie Redknapp, Shevchenko, Sir AP McCoy, Justin Timberlake, just among some of those that are playing. Justin's first time, I bet he's going to love it.
Oh, he'll love that, won't he? Yeah. AP McCoy would be one of my heroes. What a man. Love to play with him. Yeah, but it's just...
Hard as nails.
Breaking a few bones.
Oh, my goodness me, yeah.
So, they're going to love it. They play off the front tees. So I think it favours the amateurs who are lower handicaps, to be honest with you. They cope with it a bit better. Plus, they can make a few birdies on top of the pros. So, great week for them. Great week for the pros on three. Just brilliant courses.
Yeah, Rory McIlroy's playing. Justin Rose is playing. Actually, with Justin Timberlake and Jon Rahm. Tony Finau's having a second week in a row in Europe. Tommy Fleetwood and Tyrrell Hatton. They love the venue. They love the golf course, obviously, for winning reasons. Shane Lowry, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Matt Wallace, Bernd Wiesberger, Eddie Pepperell. Goodness me, Ernie Els, Martin Keimer, Danny Willett. I don't have to ask you who's playing. Luke Donald, Lee Westwood, Biergaard, defending champion, Thomas Bjorn, Graham McDowell, Ross Fisher, Lee Howtong, or Howtong Lee, Podrick Harrington. The list goes on. What about the three golf courses, generally speaking? Which is the one that you want to get out of the way and play nicely?
It just depends on the weather. You mentioned it. You're going to have one of the days, very rarely they have that much rain actually this week up there on the East Coast. It's funny, Kings Barnes, you play on a nice day, you've got to make hay. You're going to 66 are common places, but as you said, Rob, if it blows, you want to be on one of the other courses. So you've got to be a little bit lucky with the draw, I think. And also with Carnoustie over the other side of the water there, the weather can be slightly different, the wind can be a slightly different speed as well. So you do need a little bit of luck to draw, which is always the case at links golf.
So if you tune up nice and early-ish on Thursday morning and it's not blowing, you'd like to play Kings Barnes.
Kings Barnes or St Andrews. I think St Andrews, right. Kings Barnes are the ones where you'd probably expect to make your score. And like Jamie's saying, if you happen to get Carnoustie and it's a little blowy and a bit cooler, then you count yourself a bit unlucky there.
If you need a score, you don't really wind up with Carnoustie, do you?
No, that's right. If your first two scores are average, you don't want Carnoustie's
you
your got third
to shoot four
in the
or five
trifecta.
Under. You got to shoot four or five to make the cut or whatever.
And because it's tougher, the amateurs, it could be a slower round.
That's right.
It might be a bit bit of a slog out there to get it round.
Those last four holes,
Carnoustie. Yeah, they're nasty.
You're not going to make many shots up there.
Carnoustie. And Padraig Harrington, by the way, has selected his first vice captain, Robert Carlson.
Yes.
Who, by all accounts, did a great job last time round.
Yeah, he's the stats man, Robert. He's been very statistical in his own game through his career. So, a bit like Thomas Bjorn, Padraig's brought him in. Good move.
McGinley was always very stat orientated and paid a lot of attention to.
I think most captains over the years have been stat orientated, maybe not quite so forthcoming in employing people to actually be there at the event and give them advice through the qualifying period. But I think all the captains, you'd have a look at the strength you needed from your players to form a good team.
How important are the vice captain selections?
I think they set the mood, definitely, for the team, room. For the advice, it's from the captain. The captain needs to know he's got people he can trust and values their opinion, because you can look at all sorts of statistical evaluation on a piece of paper, but really you've got to
know. It comes down to a bit of gut as well.
It does come down a bit of gut and who's, you know, and trusting people, and the captain needs people close by him that he can trust.
I think as spectators, you know, we only see the matches, but there's so much more that goes on behind
the
scenes where
he's trying to keep
so much more 12, to it.
12 individual people happy.
Impossible. No, that's it. And Thomas and Paul, all of them, they do such a good job. It's not difficult bringing the European team together. It really isn't. I think that is a strength that we have that the Americans still haven't got. They just haven't got that in there.
We're the whole is greater than the sum of the parts.
People come
aren't we?
Together.
That's what we are.
People come together. Yeah,
the royal we. Yeah.
They do. Yeah, they do come together. So that's a great asset for any captain.
Surely is. Okay. Fancy race to Dubai predictions. The format is you get two picks, as I said before, one outside the top 50 from last year's race to Dubai, and one can be anyone you fancy might win. And I've given you the points: 20 for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20. -5 for an MC. So, I always go last in this little round table. Yes, I go last. I get the dregs. And yeah, look at my score. Look at my score.
You have the last two, or do we go one, then one?
Oh, this is good.
Well, I don't know.
I quite like it.
You seem to know.
No, I quite like it. Well, normally I get the last two, but
okay, you get the last. So, who's going first? I think Chris.
I think we'll go, Chris.
Go on, and which one do you want? Do you want outside the top 50 first?
You can give both of them.
Okay, so I'm going to give you my pick outside the top 50.
Yeah.
I don't think this person should be outside the top 50, but he didn't have a great year, so I'm going to go beef. Andrew Johnson.
Very good.
He had a good week this week.
Yeah, great week.
So if he can carry that on.
Much better.
Right. And who's your other one?
Who's your banker?
Who's my banker? It's got to be Tyrrell Hatton, hasn't it? Not a great week this week, but won it twice before. Runner-up last year. So Tyrrell Hatton for the banker, and Andrew Beef Johnson is outside the top 50.
I can see Spencey going for a little bit of Tommy Fleetwood. Now, call me old-fashioned. I could be completely wrong on that one. Let's see who Jamie's going for.
No, you're wrong. My main tip would be Shane Lowry, great Lynx player, obviously. Played all right last week as well. So I think in this format, I think he'd do well, to say the least.
Okay.
And my other tip...
Champion golfer of the year.
Champion
golfer of the year.
And my other tip would be Robert McIntyre. So they're my two.
That's a good shout. He's had a good year.
Was he outside the top 50 last year?
He certainly was. He came through the Challenge Tour, Robert.
That's very good.
Good player. Really, really good player.
I'm surprised you might have had him as your first pick.
Well, I want the Open champion.
I see. Oh, you want the okay. So, what have you left me with then? I'm going.
Everybody, I'm Rory. Going, you can pick whoever you want.
Apart from your two picks.
Apart from ours, yeah.
And your two picks weren't my picks.
Well, that's good.
So there we are.
So you're lucky.
So I'm lucky. I'm going to go for John Rahm.
The outsider.
I think he's a banker. I think he loves a bit of links golf.
Bear in mind the first 3 days here, they don't tuck the flags away because the amateurs they want to get people around. So it can become a bit of a putting competition the first 3 days. Just bear that in mind, Robert.
And why would that change who I'm going for?
I don't know. I just thought I'd point it out.
Yeah, it's very good. I mean, it made a very good point.
So
through,
John Rahm.
John Rahm, Lynx specialist. Yes. John Rahm. This is all on Lynx golf courses.
Yes.
That's why I picked John Rahm. And my outsider is Brandon Wu. Now, I saw Brandon Wu, who was a college player in the States. He's just turned pro. He won the qualifying at his final qualifying for the Open Championship to qualify for the Open.
I have to say, Robert, I've not heard of him. I'm going to confess here.
Yeah. You know, like the Colin Morikawas and the Matt Wolfs.
Yes.
Well, here comes another one, Brandon Wu.
Well, yeah, good one. I like those sort of picks.
He won on a Lynx course, final qualifying for the Open to get into the Open, and I see he's in the field, so he must have turned professional. So I'm going to have Brandon Wu.
OK. Okay, so, that is an outsider.
So I would have been absolutely shocked.
You're just
if one of if no, one of you two had snaffled him before I got there, I would have been honestly dumbstruck. I'd have been dumbstruck if you'd have picked that out.
You're just trying to be clever here, aren't you?
No, never trying to be clever.
Okay,
just one of those things.
Well,
so final thought for the Dunhill Links then. What advice would you give the amateur on the first tee at St Andrews in front of the crowd? Knees are everything's shaking.
Well, there is no advice really. Just do it. Just get on with it. Don't mess around.
Do it quickly.
Do it quickly. Get on with it. It's a huge wide fairway, and pick your best club as well. Don't think you have to hit your driver or whatever. Just hit whatever you think's your best club.
Richard Boxall has a thought which is pretty counterintuitive. He says it's so wide, it's narrow.
Well, yeah, that's right. It puts pressure on you.
Can you get a bit of that?
If I do miss it, how big a fool will I look?
Do you remember the Ian Baker Finch, the double miss?
Yeah.
And that's extraordinary, isn't it?
It is. But it can happen.
How wide is it across there? I mean, 150 yards?
140, 50 yards, yeah. I was behind Baker Finch there at that thing.
When the first one went left?
No, the first one went right over the stand onto the beach.
And then the snapper?
And then the other one went into Rusex. And do you know what he did after that? Because it was that four-hole exhibition. He birdied the next three holes. He birdied the 2nd, 17th and 18th.
Back to one over.
Whatever. There you go.
That's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Amazing.
That's amazing. Two shots there, one left and one right.
And then, Rob, the first one went over the stand
going
onto
right.
the beach.
With wings on?
Yes.
Was it
Goodness
struck?
Me.
And then the second one, I felt so sorry for him.
So was it struck or a little bit heely?
Oh, no, he hit it. He smashed the first one.
Plus yeah.
But it was over extra cover into the crowd.
Yeah.
And the second one was not going that way again.
It was the overcorrection.
Went into Rusex.
Just an overcorrection.
Went into Rusex.
Yeah,
hotel.
Rusex, lovely. What advice would you give, Chris, for one of the amateurs that are obviously out of their... They love to be there. It's great. And part of the buzz is that you will be nervous because it's hard to put yourself, if you're a top sportsman or an actor, into another environment where you feel that buzz. You're going to get that buzz in that first tee. What advice would you give?
Yeah, I mean, you hear it all the time, don't you? You see these superstars who say that that's the most nervous that they've been in this situation. So I would say, similar to what Jamie said, use a club that you feel confident with. Maybe not a sand iron, but something that you feel
First tee at St Andrews, you could actually putt it.
Well, you could. So use a club that you're comfortable with and just...
But not with the long one.
Not with the long one.
No.
And I would say, timing and tempo is pretty important. So that starts from the moment you tee your ball up. So just kind of nice deep breaths, walk in smoothly, take your time, use a club that you're comfortable with and close your eyes.
And top it.
And then don't look behind you.
It's a great tee. Great first tee.
The first tee at St Andrews is even on a cold December day when there's nobody there, and you're on that first tee at St Andrews, there's a magic, there's something in the air, there's a mystique about the place, and you cannot ignore it.
And the last tee, coming up the last as well.
And up the last, when you come up the last, there is always somebody around the last green. It doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Yeah.
There are people watching people finish the last green at St Andrews. It is absolutely extraordinary, right in the middle of the old grey town. Brilliant, brilliant event. Can't wait for it. That's it for now. Remember, you can stay up to date with the latest news via europeantour.com and the official European Tour app, as well as Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Next week, we'll have a full review of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship. Plus, we'll look ahead to the next event on the European Tour, the Open de España. But for now, from Chris Ryan, who's gone for...
Tyrrell Hatton and Andrew Beef Johnson.
Not bad, not bad. Jamie Spence has had a few seconds to think about his picks.
I have, yeah. Shane Lowry and... and Robert McIntyre.
Oh, brilliant. Seamless. And myself, Robert Lee, Brandon Wu and John Rahm. We will see you next week.